All right, 1 Samuel chapter 1, and I'm going to preach someday. I'm going to call this how bitterness makes a blessed mother. How bitterness makes a blessed mother. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, you'll notice that the Word of God says this. Now, there was a certain man of Ramathothophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jehoram, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zoph, and Ephrathite. And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peniah. And Peniah had no children. And Peniah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peniah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so, year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah her husband to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli, the priest, sat upon a seat by a post in the temple of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul. That's the message, right? And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thy handmaid a man child, then will I give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, let thy handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord, and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about, after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever. And Elkanah, her husband, said unto her, do what seemeth good, tarry until thou hast weaned him. Only the Lord establish his word. That's good advice for a husband to give his wife. Only the Lord establish his word. The woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child grew. And they slew a bullock, and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent unto the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. Now, as you back up and look at verse number 10, we read the story, but you understand that Hannah was unable to have children for a long period of time because her womb was shut up. And she had an adversary, and, you know, and Peniah would ridicule her and mock her. And just within her own soul, there was a longing to be able to bear a child. And the Bible says that she was bitterness of soul. And this bitterness of soul turned out to be a blessing. God used that bitterness of soul to make her to be a blessed mother. Father, we thank you for the word of God. Would you make a clear application and encourage every mother in this room. And those of us that have mothers, let us be thankful for the godliness that they tried to instill in us. And may we be used to encourage every mother that has a godly vision for their children. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're taking notes. I want to first of all looking at the definition of bitterness. Bitterness is a painful affliction. It's vexation. It's a deep distress of mind. So this, what Hannah was going through, this was not just somebody longing just to have a child. This was a heavy duty burden. And I put on number one, the cry of a bitter mother. The cry of a bitter mother. Now, in verses 1 through 8, we just picked some thoughts out here. First thing I want you to notice that in verse number 5, we see that she wasn't wanting to have a child because she had a terrible life. She had a loving husband. And because in verse 5, well, in verse 4 it says, but when the time that Elkanah offered, he gave Peniah his wife and all their sons and daughters portions, but unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion. So he gave enough for the other ones to have their needs taken care of. But when it came to Hannah, man, he really poured the blessings on her and blessed her in such a way. So she had a loving husband. He gave her generously. And with Hannah, the cry of her heart was, now, and as you think about a mother, somebody that wants to be a mother wants to have her life used so that she can give life. That's the cry of her heart. She wanted to have her life used so she could give life. You know, the burden of 9 months and sometimes nausea, vomiting, all kind of uncomfortable things, sleepless nights because of the extra weight and on your back, your bladder and all these types of things, all the things that happen that come with that. It's a living sacrifice. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice. When you think about giving birth, and the mother presents her body a living sacrifice. This life that we so easily take for granted, that just kind of, we think, well, I'm here. No, somebody suffered so you could be here. Somebody sacrificed to be here. And Hannah had a cry of her heart, I want to go through that so I can be a mother. Also, I wrote it down like this, she wanted to sacrifice her life so that new life could serve God. She wanted to sacrifice her life so that new life could serve God. Because she made a covenant with the Lord. When she talked to the Lord, she said, you know, if you'll give me a man child, I'll give him back to serve you all the days of her life. That was the cry of her heart. Not just to have a child so she could say she had a child, but to have a child that she could sacrifice her life so that new life could serve God. That's the cry of this bitter mother. Number two, the covenant of a bitter mother. We read from the passage, she said, Lord, if you don't forget me, I won't forget you. Notice verse 11. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then will I give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. She said, Lord, if you'll remember me and this cry of my heart, then I'll remember you. You know, we see from the beginning of time, God always knew what the difficulty with his children was going to be. It's remembering him. You know, now we already said you're a walking miracle. The life that you have is not your own. You don't sustain it. You didn't bring it into existence. But isn't it amazing how easily we forget that this life is not our own? And even as followers of Jesus Christ, we know the scriptures that ye've been bought with a price. You know, how many people like it when somebody takes something that you paid for and just use it however they want to use it? In the world, that's pretty much unacceptable. You know, especially if you haven't given permission for it to be used in that type of way, that's not really acceptable. But it's how easy we do that with our own lives. We forget. But Hannah here, she said, Lord, if you don't forgive me, I won't forget you. She wrote, and she said, if you give me a son, I'll give him to you. And the second thing about this covenant, she says here in verse number 11, and there shall no razor come upon his head. Now, this is her covenant. I wrote it down like this because we're not today, we don't have Nazarite vows. But she said, I will take care of the child in such a way that it will always be clear that he is yours. This was her covenant. Lord, I will take care of the child in such a way that it will always be clear that he is yours. And she got that from the Nazarite vows. And mothers today that have this pride, this burden, they seek the Lord about how to do that. They speak to him a certain way. They try to talk to him a certain way. Try to teach him from a young age. Try to value things that are spiritual and to value godly things. And this is the covenant that this covenant was made because she was bitter. She was anguished in her soul. And she said, Lord, if you give me a son, I'll give him back to you. And if you give me a son, I'll train him. There won't be a razor to come upon his head. And, you know, the Bible tells you that nature does not nature so teach you that if a man have long hair, is a shame unto you. And so when a Nazarite had that vow of long hair, it was understood a Nazarite vow, but it wasn't necessarily honor or glorious thing. They were set apart. They were distinct. And it was known that they were set apart unto God. And this was a serious commitment and a valuable commitment. And this mother, she cried out in her heart, Lord, I will take care of him in such a way it'll be clear that he's yours. You know, because just if a godly mother's bought with a price, then everything that she owns is bought with a price. Number three, the condemnation of a bitter mother. Now we saw in verse number 13, he said, now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, and her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. Now can you imagine? I want you to think about this. Even in Christian circles, what I just said, that's kind of a foreign concept, is it not? That our children would be clear that they're God's alone, and that we truly would try to raise them in such a way that they're the Lord's alone. Now, because of our fundamentalist background, probably what we automatically think is clothing and things like that, but there's a lot more to it than that. And there's a gravity by which we teach the child that they're not their own. There's a gravity. One of the things I've said often for years, that when you have young people, don't ask them what they want to do with their life. Ask them, what does God want you to do with their life? Because they need to understand that their life is not their own. And we look so desperately for people to try to go live out their own life now that we handicap them and keep them from doing God's will when they need the real truth is they need to live out their life that God gave them. They're not supposed to live my life. And again, the longer I study the Bible, all these people are so different. You know, there's no clones that we really see in here. And so we need to, but Hannah was condemned. Hannah's burden was so strong that it actually brought condemnation upon her. She was so burdened that her child would be for God that when she prayed, she went to the temple, she was so burdened, she just couldn't audibly say the words, but her lips were moving. And Eli thought, man, there's something wrong with this woman. And the manifestation of the burden upon her heart, and I wrote it down like this, that her burden caused even the most religious people to think that she was not in her right mind. If you have sincere, godly objectives for your children, even the most religious people will think that you're not in your right mind. That was her condemnation. Can you imagine being condemned for desiring that your heart, that your children that God made would belong to the Lord and serve Him all the days of their life? That was the condemnation of this bitter mother. And here she was in the temple. She came to make a sacrifice like everybody else did. But because of her burden, people thought, man, even Eli, the priest, this woman's not in her right mind. Shouldn't be here. She was condemned for the expression of her burden also. And they're really one and the same. You know, but that was the whole burden. That bitterness is what brought her, this child, into existence. And that bitterness is what caused Samuel to be the person that God wanted him to be. Last of all, in verse 17, the comfort of a bitter mother. And now finally, after talking with her for some period of time, Eli finds out from verses 15 that she's just in sorrowful spirit. She said, I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul unto the Lord, before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial. For out of the abundance of my complaint and grief, I have spoken unto you. She's grieved. Lord, I want a child to give to you to serve you. She's grieved, brokenhearted. And finally, when Eli understands, then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that I would ask of him. In verse 18, and she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. You know, when I read this passage, I think occasionally I run across some people that, when Hannah, this was her, she was comforted after he said that. You know, and I've met some people that when you tell them God bless you, it means something to them. I mean, they actually, because they believe you're a child of God and a servant of God, and they literally believe that that blessing that you confer upon them will mean something to their lives. And I'm thinking, it should. And it should not just be, you know, colloquialism or sayings that we express, but I've said something, I've blessed people different times and just said, Lord bless you, and they just stopped me and said, oh, thank you. And certain people, when they said that to me, I'm like, well, yeah, I needed that. You know, and may God, you know, we really miss the magnitude of what it means to be a child of God sometimes. And to realize that, you know, how's it saying, James? The prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And the Bible tells us that as a child of God, that the righteousness that we have is not of us. So we just pray according to the righteousness that Christ has placed in us. Imagine what we really can avail. And may God help us to really revive that vision and to realize that, wow, that there really is a comfort when we display that burden. And they rose up, verse 19, early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house, to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. And we read the story and all this, find that Hannah has this child, and she's able to give him back to the Lord, and she leads him to the Lord all the days of his life. All because she had a bitterness of soul that her life could be used to bring a life into the world to serve God forever. You know, now if you're a mother and you have that godly hope for your children, you're going to experience some bitter times. You're going to, you know, there especially, you know, when you've been around a long time and you see other people's children, it seem like they just serve the Lord and they just seem like they love the Lord and they love God and they're happy. And you want your children to love God and to be happy about it. And I mean, I'm talking about not just showing up for church, because anybody can do that. I'm talking about in love with God, you know, and just want to serve Him. And because Satan is trying to destroy every single one of the children, because the Bible makes it clear that's the Lord's heritage. You know, and when you don't like somebody, you know what? You try to destroy what they got. Or you destroy what their name. And so we need to understand that the children are under attack, under assault. And but the Lord did something very special in my life this week. I want you to turn to Mark chapter 3. And in Mark chapter 3, and I really want to encourage you, if you're a mother of the day that has godly hopes for your children, and you're going through those periods that it might not look like they're moving the direction that you'd like them to move. And like I said, I was not the poster child for a godly son. I was good academically. I was good athletically. I was good in secular reputation, so to speak. I didn't do drugs. I didn't smoke. I didn't go to, when I was younger in school, I did some of the things after I left the house. But many of those things my mother didn't know I did until after she heard me preach for the first time. But she had a suspicion because she knew her son. But what I'm saying is, and my mother, and I thank God, I can remember, I'm a member of the National Honor Society, I'm class president, all these things, you may think I'm bragging, but my mother was not satisfied with me. I get this appointment to go to West Point, which was a prestigious thing at a time in my life, because my mother saw her grief and her burden was me to be something far more than a good citizen. My mother had a burden for me, and she had grieved for me. And again, you've heard me mention that little sewing table that she prayed over for me. And I have my mother's Bible. When my mother died, I asked my dad, could I have my mom's Bible? And those of you may have heard me say before, but you know, one of my most powerful life verses that God has given me is from Mark chapter 3 and verse number 14. And it says, and he ordained 12 that they should be with him. And my mother doesn't have a lot of notes in her Bible. She has a few things underlined in there. But I was reading my mother's Bible, and she had underlined that exact same portion of scripture, that he ordained 12 to be with him. Not the whole verse, but the same part of the verse that and captured my heart after I surrendered to preach. And it's been kind of that's my guide for ministry, to be with him. And because if I'm with him, then I'll be right with you. And it hit me this week, and I thought about that. I thought about when my mother sighed and said, oh, thank God. I thought about all the, you know, the looks that I can remember my mother looking into my eyes sometimes, and just realizing that as much as I thought myself to be, she realized, she knew there was more to me. And I can, you know, my mother would never verbalize different things, but the look in her eyes, different times, said, what are you doing with your life? My mother had this thing she would call me occasionally when I left home university. About every 6 months, it seemed like, she said, do you still like girls? And she said, or do you use drugs? She'd ask those two questions, you know. And there was three. She said, do you still believe in God? She'd ask me those three questions. And I can remember making a mess in different situations and heading different courses. And when I went home, my mother's love was always there. But in her presence, you could always feel that longing of her heart that there was so much more that was meant for me. I mean, I thank God, when I look at that verse, and so I trust you know where I'm going with this. I mean, like I said, my mother, I put a lot of grief in my mother. And my brother said after I left, she would come through and shine the light and check to see if he was there in the room, in the bed, because Though I never got caught when I was at home or busted by her, so to speak, I used to sneak out at night. But mothers aren't crazy. They know things. And they know what their children do. And just because they don't tell everything, and mothers cry in the night sometimes, and they weep for their children, and they're burdened for them. And I look at this, and I looked at this, and I thought, this weekend I read this, and God, when I read it, when I saw this underlined in my mama's Bible, God took me to 1 Samuel. And I thought, Lord, I thank you that my mother was bitter of soul for me. She is bitter. Her heart cried out to have a son that would serve God and to love God. And after I got saved and gave up to Christ and we were on deputation and travel, I can remember so many times being in the home of my mother and us meeting to talk about God, and just like we never did before. And my mother would ask me questions about the Bible, and sometimes on the phone we talk, and sometimes I call her for a recipe, and then we end up talking about God and the Bible. But I saw this, and you know what? When God remembered my mother's prayer, my mother didn't forget him. My mother, when I was in the home, she did her best to make it clear that we didn't belong to anybody except but her and God. All that popularity I talk about and those things, I thought I was somebody. I'm sure I said it before, but I asked a date to the prom one time. Because I'm Mr. New Boston High School. He's supposed to have a date to the prom. And you know what? My mother said, no, you're not taking no girl to the prom. You know why she did that? Because almost every one of my classmates had multiple children ever before they left home. Broken home. And by the way, there's good news for those that have happened to. And we had our mistakes along the way too, but our sins along the way. But God has grace for those. But my mother wanted something better for me. She wanted me. But the gospel can fix all those pieces. Because I don't want you to think when I say stuff like that, that's not condemning anybody that's been in that situation. But what I'm saying is, and better than that, I mean, just drugs, jail, and started with some type of date situation with somebody, you know. And even the night that I did, years later, lose my purity, it was because of alcohol and it was because of a girl. And so my mother knew me, and my mother tried to protect me because she wanted me for Christ's sake and for his name's sake. And I rejoice today, though I feel like personally I've had many more failures in my life than I've had spiritual successes. But the heart of my mother was answered by God. Of all the things that I've heard said about me through the years, two things from my parents, that is, so many other people, my wife has encouraged me beyond measure along the way and different things, but beyond anything else, two things that stuck with me more than anything else is that when I preached that first sermon, my mama just sighed. She said, thank God, as if to say, Lord, you heard me. You heard me. Some mothers, I want to tell you, God's hearing you. He's hearing you. And the second thing is, when I got one's ordained in place of ministry, my dad sent me a card, and it just simply said, you done good. And I thank God for that. And so mothers, don't give up hope. Whatever stage your children are at, you know, God, if you're bitter in your soul, God's hearing you. And children, you may feel like if you have a mother that has godly ambitions for you, please understand that's why you're alive. You understand? If you have a mother that has godly ambitions for you, that's why you are alive. That's why you exist. So just embrace it. Embrace the love of God. Embrace the love of your mother and enjoy the life. Sam had a pretty good life. He, you know, glorified thousands of years later because of a mother that had a bitter soul. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word of God today. We thank you for these precious mothers that are some of the day. And Perhaps one will hear this online today. You never know, Lord, but I just pray you encourage every single mother that ever hears this message. Every children be walking in the will of God. I pray you encourage them to rejoice in what you've done. If their children be wayward apart from God, would you encourage her to continue to cry out to you in anguish, believing that you can, that the power of the gospel can still get a hold even of those that seem impossible to be reached. And Father, there may be some that just are mediocre, good citizens, respected in the community, but not sold out to Jesus Christ. And for those mothers that have the anguish of soul, that bitterness, that desire so much more, would you encourage their hearts today and encourage them to continue to walk in the Spirit and to seek you and not to forget who you are. Father, I thank you. And I rejoice in my wonderful wife and the mother that she is. I thank you for her labors all these many years and those still yet to come because of the young children that we still have. And Lord, I just pray you encourage her heart and strengthen her. I pray for the ladies of our church, our Father. Lord, would you allow that bitterness to make them better? The bitterness of soul that Hannah had got her a blessing beyond measure. And I pray, Father, that for the mothers of our church, would you allow them to see that bitterness before they die? Lord, I ask you by your grace that you allow that bitterness to be manifested, that every child had by the mothers would know the blessing of their child serving you all the days of their life. Thank you, Father, for being such a great Father, Master, Savior, and friend. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Take a moment and pray and just thank the Lord if you have a godly mother. And if you're a mother, just